Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of you.
Yes,
Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. That's 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. And for all our Hispanic sistren and brethren around the world, that's numero uno. I don't know how to say the rest of it, but we're going to say numero uno. This is your hostess with the mostest, Jennifer DeVoe Muse, a.k.a. Jenny. And this is the Muse.
How's everybody doing today?
A.k.a. Jenny and the Muse, coming at you live from LA Talk Radio, Channel 1. We are syndicated on the following: iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Deezer, Radio Line, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, CastBox, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Geo7, and now featured on Sirius XM Radio. Jenny's reaching for the stars, motherfuckers. And you better be paying attention, because Jenny's on the rise. And it's not just bread that we're talking about here. We manage the following bands or artists around the world. We have Potty Mouth, Black Sabbatha, Don Marlowe, Star Daddy, Nola Star, Jane's Addicted, Aussie Train, Mortis the Devil's Reject, and the Mortis Doll Dancers, featuring Lillian Sin, actress and freak show performer extraordinaire. We also have Cleaver from Santiago, Chile. They're a hard rock band. Go check them out. We have Fallen Fury, our metal band friends from last week's episode, from up in San Luis Obispo, California. We got Burn the Ships, new metal out of Bakersfield, California. We got Berserk, Hollywood Nightmare. They're it's like a type of metal. But go check them out, definitely. Huge following on just Spotify alone. Then we also have Borderline Radio Show, our friends Carol Dyack and Bruce Blaine, DJs out of Italy. We also have our buddy Derek Webb, health segment, and he's an actor and producer of movies, and he was once in Playboy magazine. So we love our Derek Webb. We got Band of Family, also for hard rock friends from up in Bakersfield, California. Quick shout out to our bars and or venues that we work with regularly. We have the Five Star Bar at 267 South Main Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012. That's downtown LA, owners Marco and Angie Cordova. We have Petey's Place at 6025 Reseda Boulevard, Tarzana, California, owner Petey Partello. We have Universal Bar and Grill at 4093 Lancashire Boulevard, North Hollywood, California, owner Greg Beer. And then we have Rainbow Bar and Grill at 9015 Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood, California, 90069. Our buddy Nick Fuoco from Metal Mayhem Mondays and Tuesdays. We dearly miss you, our friend. And Derek Webb, instead of calling me on fucking Facebook, why don't you dial into the show? You're the health segment guy. Anyway, we're not going to go there. I'm just glad my phone didn't crap out when he was trying to call me on Messenger. Anyway, You can check out our artists that we manage at Get Real Global Artist Management. You can check us out. We're in the process of programming our online radio station, Get Real Global Radio. We are now officially have call letters, call sign letters. We are now officially through the National Association of Digital Broadcasters, and we have our own call letters, KGRL. That's Get Real Los Angeles. So check us out. We could feature your music, Mr. Sergio, on our radio station and have it playing all day and night, all week long, so people can listen to how wonderful you are. But today we have our featured artist, singer, songwriter, amazing guitarist, and God only knows what else this man is capable of. We have Sergio Michel. Hey, how's it going, Sergio?
How are you?
Good, how are you? Awesome. You calling us from Florida?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. So how's it going out there in Florida right now?
Pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain. Weather's pretty nice.
That's good. Yeah.
It's sunny. Good.
It's all well, yeah, that's right. We both live in the southern part of the country, so, yes. You know. We were informed of you and your music by the wonderful Raquel Figlio, PR expert, and we're very glad that Raquel brought you to us. I was listening to your music, really amazing stuff. Guys, go check out his new album, Tropical Depression. You can get it on Spotify, like all over the place. Go see his, I put a link to one of his music videos on our Facebook post just tonight. So go check it out. My page, Jennifer Muse, M-U-S-E. You can see our post up there about Sergio and links to his website, SergioMichel.com. And he's got a lot of stuff going on. 19 song album. OMG. Ooh, that's a lot of songwriting, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of songs, double album. So it was a lot of fun. And I just wanted to push myself to the limit of songwriting and beyond, and just kind of showcase what I can do, plus touch on some subjects that I think need to be talked about in music.
Right. I love the name of the album. Really good stuff. What was your inspiration for giving it that name in particular?
So for the past 4 years, before I moved to Florida, I moved to Florida in the summer. I, living in LA, headlining Whiskey, Viper Room, Canyon, Rainbow all the time. Mm. And then about 6 years before that, I lived in Florida, South Florida. In all the party hubs, Fort Lauderdale, South Beach, and things like that. And my time just observing a behavior, because that's what I like doing. I just hang around and, take note of things that are going on around. I noticed a lot of bizarre stuff, bizarre stuff that was not only funny, but unbelievable. And that's basically what the basis of Tropical Depression is. And it took me about 5 years to record the album. Murphy's Law, Hell and High Water, track something. And I wound up putting out three other releases, which were re-releases before I even finished the album. So I was working on this album and then wound up doing other things. It's like squirrel, I was working on this and then got distracted and came back. And then I did everything but the drums, but I play a certain style of drums that wasn't appropriate for what I was looking for this. So I wound up enlisting my friend Rob Tucker, who's the drummer for Jason Newsted's Chop House band. Mm-hmm. He laid down the drums here, and that was the missing piece. Everybody was asking me, when's this thing coming out? I need a copy. I'm going to send it to the label. I'm going to do this. I'm like, I can't. It's not ready. And only I understood why it wasn't ready. It sounded fine, but it didn't sound what I wanted drum-wise. So when I got an organic real drummer to come in and do it, because I can drum, but I'm not a drummer per se. So when he came in and nailed it out, I just mastered it in like 3 days, boom, and the rest is history. And people really like it, so I'm very happy.
I mean, I can see why it took you a long time to write it. I mean, 19 songs is not like a short, it's not like it's a short album. Like you're just, oh, I did like, you know, 8-10 songs. You know what I mean? It's almost like, you know, like two albums kind of like put into one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so exactly what it is.
Something like that would take a while, you know?
Yeah, it hits everything. It hits punk, it hits metal, it hits alternative, it hits pop. But it works. It all sounds like me. So I think I pulled it off. I'm happy with the product. I could listen to it beginning to end and not find a problem. You know, a lot of people tell me the same thing. There's a radio station down here called The Surf, and the program director has it on loop in her office. And she's like, dude, I can't find a flaw. It's like, it's great. I like your album. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you. Hope it's a streaming service so I can make some money. Exactly. There you go. Hint, hint.
No, I'm just kidding.
No. You're the worst.
I did like how you had different elements in there. You know what I mean? I really did like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you want to say homage to what you like about hard rock, metal, and punk, but it sounds new. So, you know, that's what I was going for. It was like classic feel, but something totally different.
Now, would you consider yourself more like a solo artist, or are you like a band, or what's your configuration look like?
Well, it's kind of like the whole Yngwie thing. Is it a solo artist? Is it a band? So what I do is I get players from other bands, usually big, very big bands,
and have them
come out and play and perform. It's really cool. The CD release, we did it here in Florida. I had the drummer is this guy named Ron Hunter. From like a really big 70s, late 80s era thrash band called Fury. So, and they used to go under New York Fury too. And they were like, they did arenas and all over the place. But I guess they were contemporaries of Skid Row and, you know, Winger and stuff like that. So I think, I think they hit everywhere else and in America, but in the Northeast, right? But this guy's my friend and he's like, he hasn't played drums for 2 years. And he's like, he came out of retirement. No, I got to play this gig. So he showed up. He showed up with like a 1988 silver pasty 26-inch double drum kit with like 8 toms and side toms. And it was like totally 1988. I loved it. It was great. So yeah, so that's what I go for. Yeah, I Frankenstein good players because the thing is, the stuff I write, even though sometimes it's not, some of it may not be technically difficult, like the bass lines, you still need swing. And it's very hard to find young guys with that, with rock and roll. Like there's people who know notes, people who can play fast. There's people who look the part, but you can't teach rock and roll. You have to be there. Like I grew up at CBGB's. And like I said, I spent many years at the Rainbow, you know, when Mario was alive and stuff like that. So you know what rock and roll is. Muse knows what rock and roll is. You just can't teach it. You can't explain it. It's just there. You know, it's like John Lydon could walk in a room wearing anything, even golf pants, and he'll still look rock and roll. You know, you can't put your finger on it, but that's my standard. So it has to be somebody that understands rock and roll.
So how old were you when you started all this? Like, you sound like you were probably younger when you got into everything.
I started playing very, very late. Sadly, my mom, when I was like a baby, like 4 years old, like I had a guitar, I had a drum set. I actually got grounded because, I was about 4 years old and that back when cable only had 16 channels. So I was born in 79.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
Jay Giles had that centerfold video, and at the end, you know, they did the slow-mo drums with all the paint flying out. Well, I thought it'd be a good idea around 6 or 7 in the morning to fill that little drum set with milk to recreate it, and it went bad and went rotten, and I invited everybody upstairs to see what I can do, and I destroyed a drum set with rotten milk in it. I got in trouble, so they didn't let me play. So I wound up getting my first guitar maybe around 16 or 17. And it's like the guy from what's her name? Man, I forget the band's name, but it's a speed metal guy. And he said that, you know, when he picked up the guitar, he knew how to do this real quick already. That's how I was. Like, when they gave me a guitar, I didn't know the name of a chord, name of a note. I didn't even know how to tune a guitar. I just had the ability to play really fast. So, and I loved it. You know, I loved Van Halen, you know, Japanese music. It has all that fast, crazy guitar. So I took to it like a fish to water. And I kind of taught myself. You know, I had a neighbor that knew guitar, so he taught me chords. He's like, no, this is an A. And I'm like, why is this an A? He's like, no, just hold it like this. And I'm like, I hate this. And but eventually I wound up learning theory, but I'm pretty much self-taught. Yeah.
That's awesome, though. You're like, you're self-taught. You got into it when you were younger. You know, yeah. I mean, that's really amazing. I wish more young people had that kind of drive. I mean, there are some, obviously, but... And the fact that you're doing it like Yngwie Malmsteen style, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're doing what you want to do and how you want to do it. And you got to have mad respect for that.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's I wouldn't say difficult, but it's a more narrow road because, you know, it's sort of like the Ritchie Blackmore school of guitar. It's like, you know, everybody likes you, but it's like, why aren't you like doing the trendy stuff? Like, if you only did the trendy stuff. And so I don't go by trends. It's like, look, I'm doing it. I like rock and roll. I'm just not happy doing, you know, stuff that is trendy because it lasts for 2 years, 2-3 years, then you're pigeonholing, you're done. I'd rather be myself, come good stuff or, you know, whatever, but be myself and know that at the end of the day, I just went out there and tried and did and accomplished. Right. As opposed to just like, well, let's try this and, you know, things fall apart. So.
But I like the fact that you go out and you find musicians that are going to complement that particular song or that particular album or, you know what I mean? And you get different people from different bands that are known, you know what I mean? Like drummers, guitarists, bassists, whatever. And they play all, you know, everybody plays together. I like how you have it structured.
Thank you. Yeah. And that was my when I started structuring my band, that was my objective, because the thing I found when I was very young, I was very, very motivated. And I was very interested with the history and the business of rock and roll. So I studied everybody I liked and I studied everybody I didn't like. And I studied their influences and their influences all the way back to like Black and White, you know, Django Reinhardt, you know, stuff like that. And I realized that in the music business, there's many pitfalls, and a lot of them have to do with unprofessionalism and not knowing when to strike and not knowing when to chill. You know, half the time, if I'm not performing or recording, I'm doing nothing music-wise, because sometimes it's just better not to be active. But if you go and do every little thing, it kind of cheapens your brand sometimes, or it puts you in the wrong place with the wrong people. And one setback in the music business, one wrong thing could ruin your career. So I kind of studied where everybody has gone wrong and kind of avoided those things. So I'm kind of like the book. I'm like, okay, I looked at the book, I threw it away. I'm like, I'm just gonna make my thing up, and that's my attitude. It's paying off. I mean, it's working.
Well, that's good though.
Yeah.
You know, that you're doing it you're doing it the way you want to.
Yeah. You know? I'm from Hoboken. Sinatra's from Hoboken. It's my way. I did it my way. So it's like,
right.
I guess it's a Jersey thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing music since I was, you know, sixth grade. I played the flute for like 7 years. You know what I mean? So I've been on that end of it. And then I've also been on the other side of it. You know what I mean? Being the promoter, the artist manager, the booking agent, you know what I mean? Like I've done all that stuff, you know, put all the concerts together, you know, I'm the host, I get on stage, announce the bands, like, you know what I mean? So I've seen it. I've seen everything from the different angles in this industry. You know what I mean?
Cool.
So it's been an interesting ride, so to speak. I met some really awesome people that were driven and motivated and were, you know, trying to be at the top of their game. And then I've met other people that were, I hate to say, like, kind of slackers.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell who wants to be in the industry and wants to make a career of it. And then people that are just fucking around because it's something cool to do on the weekends.
Yeah.
There is a difference.
There is a difference. And the reason we're seeing so much of that is the internet. The internet is damaging. I think the internet is damaging to serious artists now because the internet, see, the internet, when all this came out, social media, supposed to be a bulletin board system. Like AOL and MySpace were perfect. It's like, I have a product, I've uploaded an MP3, listen. But now it's like, well, somebody has 500,000 followers. Okay. And can they play? They've never played a live show. They've never put out even a single. They, you know, does that compare to somebody who's been grinding for 10 years who actually sounds good? No. But the thing is that the public has been so watered down and dumbed down with these concepts of, well, you know, if they have followers, they must be somebody. And, you know, I know people who are super famous. Like, I mean, they invented rock and roll, who have 100 followers, you know, and
yeah,
I know
right.
others that have 30,000, 60,000 and never played a gig. And I'm like, okay, who do you rather be? I mean,
better yeah, be the legend it's really real interesting.
It's bizarre.
There's too much competition.
Well, was too much static. Is there's just too many people
yeah,
in the market.
Too much like crap to weed through. Yeah, weekend. I agree.
Yeah, the weekend warriors are really killing them. And I mean, everybody had a right to go out there and play. But I mean, I think before, because look, the major five labels caused a lot of havoc in music, and they ripped a lot of people off. They did bad, right? But when they were doing well, when they actually did their function, it was a curation system. You couldn't let crap couldn't get to the top. You know, we always had good. Even if it was a horrible band, there still was something. They had an it factor that was good enough to warrant you purchasing a ticket or purchasing the media. Now it's just like a free-for-all. It's like whoever, you know, has to get there first and fool the algorithm. And if the algorithm lets you on YouTube, it's like, you know, one of the most best compliments I always get is, where the hell have you been all my life? They're like, wow, I love this. I love why haven't I heard this? And I'm like, well, YouTube said you can't. So I don't know. We didn't fool the algorithm, you know, because you have to get like a certain number of plays sometimes. So people are very, very pleasantly surprised when they hear stuff like live videos, and which is a compliment. But I always set out to be a real band, a real musician, not, you know, I don't care about the adulation and what it looks like. It's like, let's do this. I want to do this. Yeah.
You're a serious artist. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're a serious artist that cares for their craft.
Yes. And the whole, the overarching history of rock and roll too. You know, I care about it. It's great. Right. And I don't want to like be one of those people that adds to the negative part of it. You know?
I loved music so much that I took the class History of Music in college. You know what I mean? Because it shows you like how things began and then how they progressed over time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like different styles of music existed before this stuff now. Imagine that. Oh my God.
That's, you know, I don't even know how to express what I see in the current generation. It's like when I was a kid, like I told you, I studied the master and the master's master and the master's master. And I went all the way back as far as I could to understand the totality of what I'm trying to do. The kids today just don't care. It's like, oh, 1990s, that's old people music. Who cares?
Yeah, right. Anything before like 1995, they're like, oh, that's old. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, how old are you? Like, shut up.
Yeah. Well, have you ever tried to have a conversation with somebody like that? And you're like, yeah, you know, such and such guitar. And, you know, wow, that album was great. And they're like, I don't know. But they're there taking selfies. Like they run Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or something.
I tend to shut those conversations down kind of quick.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I kept to myself a lot in Hollywood, except for the people like I knew were serious. Like I didn't have time for the pleasantries and the yapping. Right. I'm like, oh, this is so mundane. This is dumb. I'm like, Can we just see the best? Whatever happened to the best? Is, you know, it's like, can we just see who can play? How about that? Right. You know, I don't care about your Hot Topic outfit. I mean, your Hot Topic outfit can't make sounds. Why am I looking at you? Why are you charging me to look at you? It's like, it's
I bizarre. Know, right? No, you're no. just like, why? Did I show up so early? No, you know, because usually, no offense. Sometimes the crappier bands are on like early. You know what I mean? Oh, like you put them on at 6 o'clock because you know nobody's going to be there to see them except for the people that actually, you know, that are their friends or family members that actually showed up to watch and support. That's, you know, those are, no offense, I'm sorry to be a dick about it, but those are the bands that I put on at like the beginning of the show, like 6:30, you know what I mean? Yeah. The like bands said, that have a higher, you know, that are more talented and have a higher following or whatever, obviously you're going to put them higher up in the process.
Yeah, and there are levels. And you know, one thing that's missing, you know, people, a lot of people say, well, where's the next Kiss? Well, where's the next? Well,
right.
Who's the person? Look, Neil Bogart, Casablanca, I mean, Doc McGee, so many people played a part in getting that band to become who they are today.
Right.
Where are those people now? They don't exist because...
Oh, yeah, no. Well, they're most of them are dead and stuff now. You know what I mean? But, like,
well,
it's the nature of the beast.
Well, they're chasing likes. So yeah. The people who have influence now...
Likes and followers.
They don't want to curate somebody. They're not at the... You know, they're not at these... like 100-seater, 200-seater venue saying, you know what, I'm going to go sit around the Mint today and I'm going to see who's brilliant and I'm going to give them my card and, hey, come down to the studio and, hey, you want a management deal? Here's the deal. Okay, well, we'll shop you the label. That's gone. So now...
How many likes do you have? How many followers do you have?
Exactly. What if you have zero followers, but you can be the next Springsteen?
No, that's very true. That's very true, you know.
And there, it's gone. That whole chain of people, it's gone. And it's sad. So I would just say...
It is very sad. Yeah. I look for talent. I look for drive and passion. Yeah. When I manage a band or an artist, I don't give a fuck if they have 5 followers or they have 5,000 followers. I look at the quality of the music and the quality of the stage production and what it is they're trying to achieve. I was I was a judge for the Vans Warped Tour battles in 2018, the last year they did them. And there's very specific criteria on how to judge these bands. And it literally breaks down the categories into subcategories. And you got to look at all these little aspects that people don't even seem to realize is a thing. Some bands, like, they just get on stage and they play and they suck. They're horrible. No stage presence. They don't try to interact with the crowd. There's no nothing. There's nothing there. They just get up on stage and they play their music and then they leave and they show up 5 minutes before their set. They leave 5 minutes after their set. They don't support any of the bands that came on before them or came on after them. They just leave. And those are the bands I don't book again. I will not book you a second time if I see that bullshit. I need to see that you're fucking serious. You know what I mean? I don't charge for my shows. My shows are typically free. Maybe they're $5 to support the bands or pay the sound guy, whatever. But
yeah,
I look for better out of what I put into this. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to put crap into the world, so to speak. But you know what I want to do, Sergio? I want to play some of your damn songs. Yay. Now, you sent me 3 songs, and then Raquel sent me an additional 4 songs that were different than the 3 you sent me. But we're going to go with the 3 songs you sent me because I feel that those must be the ones that you have the most priority that you want to play during the broadcast. So we're going to start with the 3 that you sent me. We're gonna do what they call dealer's choice. You're the dealer, You choose in which order you want the songs to be played. What would you like to play first?
So I sent you Kick Rocks, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's lead with that one because it's peppy and kind of punk-ish, and I think LA would like that. And then what else did send you?
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember, to be honest with you. Hold that thought. Maybe I can tell you. let's see. Art Deco. Art Deco, okay. Freakazoid, Kick Rocks, and Abysmal.
Ooh, okay. I remember Abysmal. Do Abysmal because it's more vintage sounding. Abysmal, Kick Rocks, and then Art Deco because it's like kind of...
Okay, so, all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a three-pack back-to-back-to-back, okay? So we're going to do, you said Abysmal first, then Kick Rocks, and then the Freakazoid song.
Yeah.
Right?
But wait a minute. What did Raquel send you, though?
Oh, Jesus. she sent me... Hold that thought. Subhuman? Time... Is it Helps? Or no, Time... What's that
time
one?
Has come.
Time has come. Okay, Time has come. Heavy, Subhuman, and The Fight.
The Fight. They're all good. Oh man, they're all good. Okay. You know what? Let's do this. Let's do Abysmal.
Okay.
Kick Rocks.
Okay.
And Heavy.
Heavy?
Subhuman. Abysmal. Kick Rocks and Subhuman. End up with like a heavier.
All right, so Ronan, can you please play in this order: Abysmal, Kick Rocks, and then Subhuman. Please.
Sorry, Ronan.
You. It's okay. We got a three pack of Sergio Michel. Denny's Real Talk on the Block. LA Talk Radio Show 1 and I.
Playing
That was a three pack of Sergio Michel. Woo! Hey. Hope you guys liked that. That was some awesome stuff right there. Hell to the yes. That was awesome. I was like totally cranking out like metal, punk rock, like totally woo. And making me want to get in a mosh pit right now, I tell you.
Yep. That's what it's for. So human especially. That's just for a mosh pit.
Oh, dude, I'm totally going, Stop human.
You should do that next time you are Ralph.
Right in line at the checkout counter, you know what I mean? You're standing in line behind like 10 people and all of a sudden you go, Stop human. You're like, what the fuck? Like, what
you know what
is going on here?
I think we've got something here. Sending your best to somebody.
That would be awesome.
TikTok challenge going.
Oh, that'd be so fucking cute. Badass. Dude, we should totally do that. We'll do your songs I'm human on TikTok and just totally go crazy. That would be bad.
Or, excuse me. How about the bouquet of what?
I was wondering how much that cheese platter is. I'm human. You're like, what? What the fuck is going on?
But then, no, they're both in on it, so they're just doing it to each other.
All right. We might have enough time to play one more short song. What would you like to play? The Fight and Heavy.
Heavy. You want another?
Yeah. Totally up to you. Your choice. Whatever you want to do.
The Fight. Do The Fight because it's fast.
Okay. All right, Ronan, let's play The Fight by Sergio Michel. Jenny's Real Talk on the Blog. LA Talk Radio. Kill One and I Heart Radio. Fuck yeah. Fight, fight.
Subhuman fight, fight.
That was a fun, thrilled ride.
We triggered two challenges on TikTok. One group of people say subhuman,
and the other one says fight, fight, fight. I'm going to get whiplash. All right. We got about roughly 2.5 minutes left of the broadcast. Right. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, social media, website, whatnot, as well as your music.
All right, everybody. Sergio Michel's M-I-C-H-E-L. And you can go to SergioMichel.com for all the latest news, developments, etc. Of course, you could stream all the music on Spotify, Apple, Apple Music, iTunes, Deezer, Tidal, Angami, Rhapsody, and any MP3s are sold or streamed. And of course, there's t-shirts, picks, personalized 8x10s at the website. And yeah, Facebook is Sergio Michel Music, Instagram is Sergio Michel Music, YouTube is Sergio Michel Music, and Twitter is _Sergio_Michel_. And that's where you can find all the Sergio stuff.
_
Just underscore. Just type in a bunch of random ones until you see this. There it is. And then you know that's me. So,
well, I want to thank you so much, Sergio, for being on Jenny's World Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1, iHeart Radio today. We appreciate you and all the hard work that you do on your music. Thank you so much for allowing us to share this with the world tonight. We really appreciate you, and we can't wait to see more out of you. Let us know anytime you ever want to play any of our online concerts, if you want us to feature your music on our radio station, anything. We're there for you and all of our artists, of course. But thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Of course. And thank you for having me. It's been a very nice show, and LA Talk Radio, one of my favorite little stations out in the valley.
Yeah.
I've been there many times.
Hell yeah. So sure, big ups. You're welcome. All right. Next week
on Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio, Channel 1 and iHeartRadio,
Melanie Chartoff, author and voice of Dee Dee Pickles on the Rugrats. Come on with us next week and check us out. Melanie Chartoff, Dee Dee Pickles from the Rugrats. We'll see you next Wednesday and every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. That's 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, only on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. We're also syndicated on iHeartRadio. See you next week. This has been Jenny and the Muse. Till next time, peace out.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.